much. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's get to Judges. Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much. If you go with me to the book of Judges, please. The book of Judges, chapter 11. Judges, chapter 11, please. Judges, chapter 11. I want to thank Pastor and the college for allowing me to be part and participate in teaching and from time to time preaching here in chapel. It's one of my highlights of any semester of being able to preach in chapel. So I'm very thankful and for the opportunity. I hope I can be a blessing to you. And I hope you can pay attention, even though this is just the last day here or two before heading off to Christmas break. Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, and we'll read that just as a base there, and we'll get started. The Bible says this: Now Jephthah and the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with them. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us if we do not so accordingly to thy words. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful music we've gotten to hear already this morning as it stirred our hearts and these wonderful truths. Help me, Father, to communicate this truth, Father, from your word, and help me to be a blessing as you minister to the hearts of these young people, Lord, and minister to mine as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The book of Judges speaks of times of trouble, a time when judges governed over God's people. It was one of the worst times in the history of Israel. Each one did that which was right in his own eyes, the Bible says. It was a time of idolatry and immorality. It's during this time which we find the story of Jephthah. This was a warrior of great strength, of great courage. He was a product of an illicit and immoral relationship between his father and a prostitute. Through this story, we learn about a man that overcame the circumstances and disadvantages that he inherited. One who was denied his inheritance, yet did not harbor resentment in his heart, nor anger, and took the path of victory as opposed to victimization. He was a man that determined to elevate himself above the deficiencies of life, the woes of life. He understood the victory depended on God and not his actions or his own strength. And through this story, we can see clearly that when you're up against all odds, you can be victorious. Jephthah could have easily allowed the circumstances of his life to make him a victim, but he decided to take the lemons of life and make them lemonade. I notice in verse 30, his promise. He says, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house, notice the word whatsoever. I don't think he ever thought it would be his daughter. Forth of his doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it for a burnt offering. God is a loving God and patient, that we are not ever in need of bribing him for his blessings. God had already blessed him. There was no need to make promises that he was not knowing exactly what he was promising. He said, whatsoever, whatsoever, not knowing that it would be his own daughter. Sometimes, if we are not careful, we lose sight of the fact that we are already more than conquerors in Christ. There's no need for us to shuffle our life around to try and gain merit in God's favor, in God's eyes, or try and jockey for position to receive his blessings. No one is ever worthy of God's favor, especially for him to use us. If it weren't for grace, we would be cursed and in hell, probably today. We cannot allow our conscience to divert or rob us from God's will and blessings for our lives. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says. If you go to Romans chapter 8 with me, just read a few familiar verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spread not his own Son, but delivereth him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Against all odds, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So long as we obey his commandments and walk by faith, he will always be faithful to defend us and to lead us to victory. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. God is faithful no matter even when we are unfaithful. How many times do we promise God so many things and we fail him? We fail in those promises, yet he still blesses us, for his mercy endureth forever. These people were stubborn and rebellious people. Yet God used Jephthah to deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. Hudson Taylor said once, God never works through a man without first working in that man. Despite his background and being a product of sin, God used him and raised him up as a leader to deliver his people. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, if you would, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 and on. The Bible says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, is that how you say that in English? And of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel. Notice all these people against all odds, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of his sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. These list of men and women of faith accomplished much for God despite the circumstances, despite the odds, despite their failures, and against all odds, They accomplished much for Christ's sake. They became victors and not victims. Winners and not failures. Finishers and not quitters. In this fight we're in, the spiritual warfare we fight, we either posture our lives as victors or victims. The conquerors or the defeated. When we know that are all odds against us, we must, number one, refuse to let our past determine our future. I think of Brother Angel. This morning, as Pastor mentioned his testimony, I did not know his testimony, just briefly heard it now. I had heard somewhat of his testimony, but to think against all odds, he continued studying here. And I wonder how many times, maybe through some odd looks and discouraging moments of people even doubting his ability or his capacity to finish or to continue. Yet against all odds, I'm sure Brother Angel had to trust in God's sovereignty, God's wisdom, and God's power to endure and to finish what God started in his life. You see, he refused to let his past determine his future. No one comes from a perfect past. We all have failures. We are not proud of, and sometimes we don't want anyone to know, or we don't want to remember. As we serve God with second opportunities, we understand that sometimes, that against all odds, against the things that we failed God in, God chooses to use us as unprofitable servants. And it's such a joy to serve God, knowing that we don't deserve anything, let alone Him use our life. God, for a new life in Christ. Thank God for a new life in Christ that we enjoy. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul said it best when he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I think of Christmas time, and it's such a, one of my favorite, if not my favorite holiday besides my birthday. One of my favorite, and I say that because it's Abraham Lincoln's birthday, but one of my favorite times of the year is Christmas. I think of just spending time with the family and seeing the children rejoice and others be happy, and you get to help people that are hurting during this time, and it's just a wonderful time of the year, and it's obviously all around the birth of our Savior and how we value Christmas so much more because we know the truth of the Word of God. But Christmas also reminds me of some moments that I am pretty, I wish that I can take back. I remember one time as a child, we were going through difficult times, and it was a hard year, and we had not been here so long, maybe just a few years, and my parents were trying to settle in and getting jobs, both of them, and it was just a tough year. And that year we had a Christmas tree, but it was made out of metal, and it was pretty bare and limpsy looking, and it had no presents under the tree, and my sisters and I got together and said, well, let's wrap up some Christmas gifts to put something under, and I picked some toys of mine, and I put them in boxes, and I wrapped them up, and they did the same, just to have something underneath the tree. And we wrapped up some tamales that Christmas, that we did. But we put some things underneath the tree because we didn't want Christmas to get by without having any gifts. Well, I was pretty down because my friends were, you know, talking about getting Atari 2600 and He-Man was very popular in those days, and everybody was getting the doll of He-Man, and I wanted a He-Man, you know, there was nothing under the Christmas tree. As a little boy, I was just frustrated, and obviously, we weren't saved at the time. I was saying, surely somebody's got to give me a gift. Look at this face. But Christmas morning came, that Christmas Eve came, and nothing. We woke up the next morning, and as we went to go pretend to unwrap our gifts, there was one gift that each one of us had, apart from the ones we wrapped ourselves. And it was a little long one, like about that far, and my imagination started going crazy. I started thinking, wait a minute, I didn't wrap this one, and it kind of looks like the size of a He-Man doll. So I'm thinking, this is it, you know, somehow Santa Claus is real, you know. And I go to opening my present, and as my sister's opening theirs, and And I opened my gift, and it was just a paper plane. One of those that you assemble yourself and you put the stickers on the side, Pan Am on the side. And I looked at that gift and I said, this is a joke, right? I mean, and as I saw my sisters unwrap their socks and scarves and the things that my mom was able to buy for them with so much sacrifice, I looked at that airplane, which I had built, and there was no batteries, no nothing. It wasn't a remote control. It was just one of those that you put together and you throw in the air and it falls down, and you pick it up and throw it in the air and it falls down. And I was so mad. I grabbed that paper plane and I broke it. And I looked over at my mom with my intention was to hurt her, because I was hurt. When I looked over and I saw her, and she saw my plane broke, and she saw that I was so unhappy, she started crying. And my sisters right away, they started yelling at me and hitting me and saying, Andy, you're so dumb, what, you know, and you don't deserve nothing. And my mom worked so hard and to get us these things. And all I saw was my mom in tears run to the room. And she had no gifts that Christmas. She stayed in the room, and I can hear her crying. And it was my fault. And that, for the next probably hour, I spent time putting that plane together as best I could with tape. Because I felt so bad that I had not appreciated the sacrifice and the hard work from my mom. And when she came out of the room, she went to the kitchen, she did the breakfast, and when I got the courage to go to her, I grabbed her, I hugged her, and I was just about that tall, and grabbed her waist, and I apologized to her as best I could. I said, Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she looked at me, and she picked me up and put me on a chair, and she said, Son, it's been a hard year, but I wanted you at least to open something up this Christmas. And I'll never forget that Christmas, not because of the Christmas tree and because of the presents that we wrapped and because of necessarily the airplane, but because that Christmas I was so selfish and I hurt my mom. You know, I was reminded this morning, as every Sunday morning before I leave my office, I get a text from my mom. And she puts little hearts and smiley faces and tells me, Son, I'm so proud of you. I love you. I'm praying that God would use you this morning. And I think how many times I've failed the Lord, I've hurt his heart. How many times I've ashamed the Lord in my life. Yet he continues to desire to use my life. He continues to help me go forth and serve him and help others. And I think I don't deserve this. I know that if it was for my past and the things that I've done, I should not be where I'm at. And here we have a man that was birthed out of an illicit relationship and was cast away from a family and did not receive any inheritance and was belittled because of it. And now they're calling him back. And God has put him there to use him to help his people to go forth. And I just think, you know, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, made the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, God has looked beyond our fault. He has chosen to use us no matter what. And I'm talking to young people that if we're not careful, if we don't on purpose decide and determine to believe that even against all odds, against everything that the devil might raise against you and accuse you of, and your memory and your conscience will remind you of, and the things you've done that's not right, and you know the times you've hurt your parents and the times you've hurt the Lord, no No matter what, God still wants to use you, and you're still special in His eyes. No matter the opinion of others, no matter the accusations of many, God still loves you, and God still has plans for your life. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, amongst whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But now in Christ, verse 13 says, Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See, we must refuse to let our past determine our future. Number two, we must refuse to let circumstances determine our possibilities. He was surrounded by vain men. These were good for nothing men. He was in the company of men that were unworthy of recognition or any worthiness of being the army of God. But yet, when Amnon made war against Israel, they came looking for Jephthah to make him their captain. They must have heard how he took those men and made them into those mice, I should say, and make them into men, right? God says, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says in Proverbs 16:8, better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble were there with it. Ruth did not allow her circumstances to determine her possibilities. Gideon did not allow his circumstances and his fear to determine his possibilities. Moses, Rahab, Joseph, all of these against all odds. God has allowed you in your life exactly what He knows you need to be victorious. He has given you your parents, your pastor, your youth pastor, your church, His Word, His Spirit, this Bible college, where you're at today, to against all odds be more than conquerors. We must rise above all circumstances, all difficulties, and claim God's promises. Amen. Refuse to let the circumstances dictate your possibilities. Pastor, I'm going through some difficult times. I'm going through some needs. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't even know how I'm going to get home. Pastor, maybe there's a student here that's thinking, I don't even know if I can come back next semester because things have been so difficult. I'm already in debt. I'm already climbing a hill of debt, and I just can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's just so difficult. It's been difficult since the day I got here, and I don't know why I'm here at this point. I think I might as well just stay where I'm at, but let me remind you that we are not supposed to let circumstances dictate what God's will in our life is. We're supposed to let God govern us. We're supposed to get a hold of the fact that God has chosen us to serve Him. And faithful is He that calleth, whom also will do it, the Bible says. Lastly, refuse to let your pride rob you of God's favor. Verse 7, there in our text, it says, did ye not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? He responded to them and what they did. He could have refused to help because of pride, but instead he answered the call, to which God blessed him greatly and led him to have victory against the enemies of his people. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Our pride can be the great obstacle far more than others or circumstances beyond our control. He kept his heart. That's half the battle. He did not allow himself to be overtaken inside with resentment and pride. He refused to be a victim. He refused to take it personal. He took the bad and turned it into good. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Peter 3:9 says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye shall inherit a blessing. Joseph told his brothers, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is in this day, to save much people. And God has planned to bring to pass in your life, even who upon all odds, God has chosen to bring to pass. If God is for you, the Bible says, who can be against you?
Listen here, what I'm trying to communicate today is that I know sometimes life is rough, and I know sometimes difficulties come, and sometimes we face mountains that we look at and say, this is not for me. This, what Lord, could you have made a mistake? Maybe, can you reconsider? Because there's nothing in me that gives me the inspiration or the thinking of that I can do this, Lord. Unless you do this through me, it's impossible, Lord. I feel like stepping back and letting someone else, because it's too big, Lord. The things that I've done, the things where I've come from, Lord. No one here knows what we've seen, Lord. And yet you choose to use me, Lord. And that is against all odds. There's some of us here that there's no reason, no good reason why we're here today. No good reason. If people were to know what we've seen with our own two eyes. If people were to know what we've seen at home. Maybe the rejection that you faced. Maybe the hurt that's come in your life. Maybe the problems you've seen face on in your own family, in your own parents. The things you've heard said. Good Christians fall. Good pastors fall. Leaders that you loved and you had hopes to influence your life, they've fallen away, or maybe believe other things, and you're in despair and you're thinking, what's now? What's next? Against all odds, God says, I still want to use you. I know you don't have much, but little is much when God is in it. I know you're not much, but little doesn't matter. There's a great giant with us. You know, this Christmas reminds me a lot of good memories, but it also reminds me a lot of evenings. You see, every 24th, we just start off good. But right about midnight, there was always somebody fighting. There was always beer bottles everywhere. There was always parents fighting, uncles and aunts fighting. And we would go to sleep as early as possible because we just wanted that night to go away and wake up the next morning and just try and open up some gifts and enjoy Christmas. I can remember many, many Christmases where it's just me and my sisters and my brother and my mom sleeping and my dad with a hangover. And just us doing Christmas. And I look back now and I see where God has brought us and what God has given us today. And I say, Lord, man, if ever, against all odds, just some little kid from the neighborhood that nobody even knows or recognizes. But God can do the impossible. I wonder where you're at today. I wonder how you feel today. Maybe you're going home and you have nothing in your pockets. You have nothing to give anybody. You don't even know how you're going to get home. Maybe you don't know how you're going to come back. You feel up against all odds. That's exactly where God has you. That's exactly where God can do the impossible. Father, please bless today's message, Lord. Just a simple thought, I know, but would you help these young people? I don't know where they're at this morning, Lord, how they're feeling, what's going through their mind. I know they're old enough to understand responsibilities and payments and bills and people problems, and they carry burdens, even their parents' burdens, Lord. Some young people here this morning are carrying very heavy burdens that we don't even know. And many of them, as I felt many times as a young person, no one there to really help me out. No one there to really say, hey, I got you. I'll take care of you. But it was you always, Lord. Your faithfulness. And against all odds, every day, your mercies are new. And you still want to use us, Lord. Father, would you help these young people? I pray.